The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. I hope you're going to have a good day today. Let's see, today is June 28th, 2023. Now, turn that down, boy, we got a lot of stuff going on. So, we've been working hard. I've been working hard getting the one-minute video stuff going. I mentioned it. We got our first one up. It's on Rumble. Hey, you're going to have to go look around to find it. All right, well, let's see. We got four open lines, 877-207-2276. And we're on Discord for those who are listening on there. Hey, welcome. We have three people listening. And on Clubhouse, I don't know how many we got in there. We got quite a few. Well, we got about six, seven, eight, and over 20 in Rumble. And that usually, everything doubles. Usually by the end of the show, doubles, triples, at least in a Rumble. All right, hey, if you want to watch the show, it's not a big deal. I'm just sitting here in my office, but if you want to watch, you can go to rumble.com/ Matt Slick Live, all one word, Matt Slick Live, and you can check it out. And there's also, we have the, you know, the CARM thing. In fact, that reminds me, today what I did was I set it up so that you can go to carm.org/social for social media, just the word social, and it'll forward you to a page, and it'll have all the stuff and information you need for everything. So we have all of our accounts, and you can scroll down to number 9 is Rumble CARM homepage, Matt Slick Bible Study, Matt, you know, live radio, and things like that. So it's real easy to do. All you got to do is just carm.org/social, and you can check it out. All right. All right, all right, all right. Let's see. I think that is about it. Yeah. Give me feedback on that video, what you guys think, because it's the first one we released, and it's not perfect. But man, oh man, boy, talk about work. I mean, I have a spreadsheet here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 40 different columns of things I have to check off to get each individual thing done just for one video. It's really a lot of work. It really is. I've learned a lot. Oh, man. I'm not whining. I'm just telling you. You know, this is what it is. Oh, hey, look, I got to let you know, okay? I know that everybody's having financial issues. We are too. I just want to let you know that if you could support us at $5 a month, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to have to start mentioning that on a regular basis. We don't ask very much, just $5. That's a cup of coffee, a couple cups of coffee, I guess is the right way to say it. So if you think CARM is worth it, the radio show is worth it, you think the sites and everything that we're doing is worth it, you want to see it continue, please, you know, consider supporting us. Just go to carm.org/donate, and we just ask $5 a month. It's not that much. And all we're asking for is 1,000 people. And obviously, there'd be 5,000 a month, and that's not nearly enough to pay all our bills, but we already have some coming in. And so that would be what would keep us above, you know, keep us in the black. That's what we need. And I'm going to be mentioning that periodically because, hey, that's how it is. It is how it is. All right. Oh, that's right. I got to remember. Well, my wife asked me, mention one thing. I forgot. Just before we get to Scott from Spokane here. We do have three online schools. And to check them out, if you want to check out the schools, let's see. It's been a while since I've advertised it. But what you can do is go to the carm.org website, and you can just go to /schools, and everything that you need should be right there. I believe it's going to take you to the right place. Oh, my goodness, I got to update that, too. Man, there's so much. But if you go to learn.carm.org, just learn.carm.org, that's all you got to do. It'll forward you to the right page, and you can check it out. We have three online schools, one school of apologetics. We have one on critical thinking. We have one on theology, $33 each, all three for $75. So it's quite a bit of a discount. And we use them to keep the lights on. And they have really helped over the years, and I'm thinking about writing another one and doing a seminar in the same process on apologetics and some other stuff. But so if you want to help us out and you get something, then you can check out those schools. They are pretty nifty right there. And I always like to tell you, look, we need to have the lights on. We need to pay the bills and all that. But and we use the schools in part to fund that. But I'm going to tell you, if you want the schools and you can't afford them, you just say, you just email me. You don't have to give any explanation. You can just say, Matt said on the radio that if I want the schools for free because I can't afford them, that's the case. And can I please have them? And that's it. And you'll get them. Okay? It doesn't hurt us. And so we just want you to know that we're not in this for the money. It's not it. We're in it to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we do need to keep the lights on, pay for internet, you know, video work. You know, it's just stuff like that. You know how it is. So there you go. There you go. There you go. And thanks, Ernie, for the $5 rant in Rumble. People, there's a way to support us. All you got to do, Ernie, is $5 a month. That would be good. Ernie works with us. He's a pretty good guy. He's a lot more photogenic than I am, that's for sure. See, I have a good face for radio. That's what people tell me. Let's get to Scott from Spokane. Hey, Scott, welcome. You're on the air. Scott. Scott.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. There you are. How are you doing?
Okay. Man? So, hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. First thing, I can attest that the schools are good. I was actually given free access, like you just mentioned, because I couldn't afford it also. And, you know, it's been great. So that's just the first thing I'd like to say. But other than that, another thing would be that the guy who called in yesterday, the very last caller of the day, it was great to hear that. I think he really needed that. And, it was cool because I was actually waiting in line to be on the next, to be on the air, and he went pretty long, but I was happy to wait, and I loved what I heard. It sounded like he could really, could have used that, and he was new to Catholicism, so that's pretty cool. I hope you get a chance to speak with him further. So to my question, though, my question is this. I wrote it out, so let's see. Does any other major religion have a historical significance that's in any way verified, such as the Bible is, and are there
that's a multiple. Let's do one question at a time. So when you do and, then it changes dynamics. So what's the first part of the question there?
Okay, so the first question is just, does any other major religion have a historical accurate significance such as the Bible?
Such as the Bible. I mean, does it have a theological book of history that relates actually to history?
Yeah.
Not like the Bible does. No. The Quran might have a few things in it that might mention something contemporary, but nothing that spans 1,600 years like the Bible does, which has been repeatedly archaeologically verified. So no, I'm not aware of anything like that. Everything else is what's called non-falsifiable. Philosophical ideas you can't test, you can't dig up in the ground like the Bible can, okay?
Okay, and then the part two to this is, are there even one recorded accurate prophecies that were given in any other religion scriptures?
Well, I don't know. I don't know all religions, so I can't tell you in any and all. So Mormonism claims to have a prophecy about the coming of the Civil War. And I forget where that prophecy is, but it doesn't matter. So... but the problem with that one is that it was already understood that the southern and northern states were in a place of discontent with each other, and slavery the bad issue, and it was already in the works. It wasn't just hey, 1 year everything started the problem, then they went to war. No, it was for decades as it built up. So that isn't much of a prophecy, even though Mormonism does have false prophecies. So other than that, no, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, well, great. That was my only two-part question, so.
Okay. Well, good. Good. All right. And so you want to work with Carm, huh? I saw your email.
Yeah. So in case you don't remember, this is me and my wife talked to you the other night on webcam.
Oh, yeah.
And it hasn't been quite full 2 weeks yet, but we think we're pretty on board, and I just love the chance to do that. So,
Well, you have to write us and tell us what skill sets you have, what maybe we can slip you into something. We're looking for people to do. One of the things we need is video editing. I need somebody who can take it over because it's too demanding on me. It's stopping me from writing articles and doing other stuff. So I do need someone who's going to be, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something simple. I mean, each video is probably going to take an hour of work.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not so much.
Yeah.
I do moderate on channels. I could be a moderator. I could write very well. I could write articles as well. But
yeah, that's something. Writing articles is something that very few people are privileged to do on CARM because I have to give them a big test. They have to know their theology off the top of their head. And that's it. And most people, by far, most people fail. And we've had seminary students who've called me up and say, "Hey, we don't want to work with you in our spare time. We just want to write an article or two." I says, "Great, great. Let me quiz you. And what's this? What's that?" And they don't know. I says, "Sorry, you don't know these basics, you know." And they're seminary students. That's happened several times. So it's not easy to be a writer. Okay, it's just not, because CARM has a standard. And if anybody's listening, if you want to be a writer, that's fine. You don't have to have a degree. But you do have to know your stuff. You have to know, be able to articulate, for example, the hypostatic union, the communicative matum. I'd prefer you'd also get into inseparable operations. You have to be able to understand and differentiate between the ontological and economic trinities. And it would be great if you could relate the economic trinity. It'd be great if you could relate the economic trinity to how Christ works and why the hypostatic union is necessary and what it means to be made under the law, particularly when you look at the communication of the properties. Then you have to know about justification, sanctification, imputation, covenant, dispensationalism, and be able to articulate them and interrelate them. Once they can interrelate all of those, then they can do pretty well.
Well, the two things I lack on that, all those that you said, would be the inseparable observations and the covenant theology. Those are the two areas I'm not proficient in, but the rest I'm pretty well versed.
Well, good. And so it's not easy. And then they have to set a writing sample in. And then we give them a test article to write and stuff like that, so that the only people who can write for CARM have been well vetted. And we've learned our lesson from a few years ago, let's just say that. We had someone that we trusted got in and actually was committing plagiarism. And we didn't know it. And then someone pointed it out. Yep, pointed it out. And we had to publicly apologize. And we had to rebuke the plagiarist. And we had to make sure everything was okay. And the person who pointed it out to us was very gracious. He says, "You just don't know this." And I said, "No, I don't. What's going on?" And we found out. And our author, we confronted him on it. Said, "This is plagiarism. That's theft. I didn't think it really mattered." Like, what? So now, because of that, some other stuff, we have to interview the person, his wife or her husband, whoever, if they're married, and the pastor. We've got to talk to the pastor or representative elder of their church. It's not easy. So there you go. Okay.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is just what you said a few minutes ago about making a seminar in relation to different subjects, apologetics, things like that. I think that's a great idea. You could. It kind of reminds me of what Justin Peters did with his Clouds About Water, and I know that was pretty successful for him. But I hear the commercials.
We got a break coming up. We got a break. I don't know if you can hear the music, because I don't know if that's the case. You guys can, but we got a break. So hold on, buddy. Okay. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
And welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Scott, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. So you got any more comments or questions or anything?
No, I think I'm good to go. I think the last thing I was just saying was that I think the seminar idea is a good one. So I just wanted to say that.
Yep, I agree. All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
Okay, have a good day, my friend.
All right, you too. All right, four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Danny from Dallas. Danny, welcome. You're on the air.
What's up, big guy? How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, hanging in there. And just had a yawn. Oh, sorry about that. All right, man, what's up?
It was a couple of years ago. I had like a chat with like this girl who used to work with us, and she was a part of the LGBTQ community and stuff like that. And it just seems like we have to almost turn things politically correct for them. You know what I mean?
We have to turn it politically correct? I'm not sure what that means.
Because it means like we might get in trouble with like our boss and all that stuff. And I kind of don't like that. I don't like being around those types of people.
Okay, you mean that the politically correct oppression that's occurring in jobs that makes you or forces you to adopt and approve of sexual perversion, right? Yeah, Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think Christians ought to form a group, an alliance, some sort with a lawyer firm or something where they support, go in. It's like an insurance kind of a thing, like $50 a month, and they pay this. And if something happens at their work where, you know, you're supposed to attend the LGBTQ appreciation lunch and dinner, you know, and you have to, $25, you have to donate, you know, and we'll, you know, if you don't, you know, I just say, look, I'm not going, and that's it. And then I would take the boss in private. I'd say, look, like I'm not going to do this, okay? And just let it alone. And there's either repercussions. You find out. You go back into his office later and say, there's a lawsuit waiting. There's a lawsuit waiting if this continues. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And I would say, and if they get fired for it, you sue the bejeebers out of them. I think Christians ought to start suing everybody they can about this stuff and put pressure on society and say, stop with the perversion, the alphabet Nazi crap that's going on. Oh, it makes me sick.
Yeah, it does. Politically correctness has gone a little too far these last decades.
Little too far?
Well,
so far, I know what you mean, but it's so far overboard. It's just, it's pathetic. And yeah, I call LGBTQ stuff lesbianism, homosexuality, gay, transgender. There's sexual perversions. Now, someone might, you know, hear, I say it, and I'm not retracting it. It is. Now, there are people who have some real serious problems, and they need counseling to go through certain identity issues. I can see them having some psychology, some psychiatry work, and things like that. But, no, this stuff, and plus with this idiocy in Bud Light, they're still promoting and still supporting the LGBTQ crap since the 90s. And then they had a parade in New York City where the alphabet mob was saying that they're coming after our children. And they've been saying it for years.
We had our parade about 2 weeks ago in Dallas.
You did? Yeah.
Well, I didn't attend. I just went over there like to hang out with my boys, and it was happening. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, oh, God, this stuff again.
Don't use the Lord's name in vain. And so the thing is that they're getting violent. And once they feel emboldened, they will physically attack you. And if you go up there and wave a sign from a safe distance, you know, whatever it is, you know, forgiveness in Jesus, whatever, you got to have protection. And you have to have cameras on and have and a pepper spray. Because they'll come against you. And they're violent. You can't trust them. These are the people who want tolerance and are incredibly intolerant. They're hypocrites. And they want to force it on society. See, that's what the thing is. The hypocrisy of the left is just pathetically bad. They want tolerance, but they're intolerant with you because they want you to think like them. Even though you say, I don't want to. No, we can't have that. You got to think like us, and we're going to shove it down your throat everywhere. They're intolerant, intolerant, intolerant. The hypocrisy of the bigots is out there. And if we don't stand up as Christian men and women and resist this strongly, they'll continue to take over. And they're not going to stop at our front door. I've been saying this for a long, long time. They're not going to stop at our front door. Now, I'm not saying they're going to literally break a door down, though they might. Genesis 19 is what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were trying to do that. I don't know if they're going to try and get laws passed that if you teach that there's only two genders, you can have your children taken away from you. That kind of thing. Who knows what's coming down the railroad of evil and perversion that is being built by the left. It's just insane. And we Christians need to stop it, and we need to resist it. And if it's going to cost us, it's going to cost us. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's what needs to be done.
Well, I agree. I really hope, God willing, please don't let it go that far, you know.
It's going to.
With me, I look at it as, I don't doubt that there's good people among them, but it just, don't push that agenda on me, please, you know.
Yeah, they're the intolerant bigots, and not every single one of them. I know that there are some that are nice. I mean, we just had a lesbian over our house just a few days ago, and a friend of our daughter, and, you know, whatever. We just talked, and, you know, it's fine and stuff like that. And but, you know, in fact, get this.
Yeah.
She asked, she asked my wife, do you think Matt, you know, Mr. Matt, you know, would perform a marriage, the woman said, if I found my girlfriend and we were to get married, think he'd do that? my wife just,
like,
what?
Like a blessing, right? Like, does he have my blessing?
There's no way I would do that. And, you know, my wife said, well, she doesn't understand what we teach and what we believe, you know. And we try to push it on people, of course. But, you know, at the right opportunity, we'll, you know, would witness to her and say, no, this is sin. We don't recognize it. Don't recognize it. And I'm telling you, if two men said that they were married or two women said they were married, when to come over and visit, well, they can visit, but that's it. You kiss, you're out of here. And you just want to sleep. You're going to do it someplace else. You're not doing it in my home. You know, I don't recognize a homosexual lesbian marriage. I don't recognize it as being valid. So I reject it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just making
up kind of enemies.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You have a very good one. Thank you.
All right, man. You too. God bless. All right. Oh, man. Let's see. You know what I just said? The alphabet mob, the alphabet Nazis, you think about what's happening. They are becoming more and more emboldened. One of the things, we have nobody waiting, so I'm going to talk about this. I haven't really thought about talking about it, but I think I will. About social decay. I've been keeping notes on some stuff, and I think what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about it, unless you call 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Just want to remind you that we do need your support. Please consider supporting us at $5 a month. All you got to do is go to carm.org/donate, carm.org/donate. Man, we would love that. All right, let's get on the air with Jim from North Carolina. Jim, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks. I have a question, and I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to just hang up and let you share your ideas because I'm listening on the radio. But I see Jehovah's Witnesses on street corners, shopping centers, and the airport all the time. I know you've done a lot of research in that area. Mm-hmm. How would you engage a Jehovah's Witness team in conversation to try to help them see the light of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and at least to question why they would even consider being a Jehovah's Witness? If you could give me some ideas on that, I would appreciate it, because I've engaged with them a couple of times, but all they do is just smile at you and say, well, we don't believe that, or we don't believe this, or, you know, so just offer some suggestions if you could. I would appreciate it.
Yeah, it's easy. There's lots of things you could do. One of the things I would suggest is to go to the CARM website and look up stuff on Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a ton of documentation, and I'll tell that different people will respond or resonate with different arguments, different facts, and things like that. But here's one of the things that I think is relevant, that is good, that you can work with them, is ask them about salvation. Because, he's off the air there. Oh, I got to yawn. Whoa, one of the things I do recommend is to memorize this address, Watchtower, February 15th, 1983, page 12. Or just carry it in your wallet, you know. And you can go to CARM and you can find this out. Because all false religions can never say that they know they have salvation and forgiveness of sins right this second. And they can say that they hope to, if they're good enough, if they do enough this or that. Because they want to be arrogant to say they're saved and they have it all done, because it's based on what they do in God's work. So this is why all false religions, you know, they teach that kind of stuff. But at any rate, according to the Watchtower, February 15th, 1983, page 12, it says there are four requirements for salvation. And it says many have found the second requirement more difficult. It is to obey God's laws, yes, to conform one's life to the moral requirements set out in the Bible. That's all you need. If you were to just go, you know, cut that out, copy it, write it down, keep it in your wallet, you could just have that, and you could talk about it with them. And you could say, oh, you're Jehovah's Witness. Oh, okay, yeah, you know. Oh, I'd like to read some of your literature, and they'll hand you stuff. And say, okay, thank you. And then say, I'm always curious what people say about how to get their sins forgiven. What have you guys got to do? Let me know. I want to know. And they'll start telling you, because they want to teach. They're brainwashed into thinking that they're qualified as teachers. Of course, they're not, but they're brainwashed into thinking that because they have the right Bible. They have the Watchtower organization. They know all this stuff. They're not in Christendom. They don't have the triad Trinitarian doctrine and all this stuff out of Babylon. They'll say that. So what I'll do is, instead of triggering them on these statements that they're prepared for, I like to say, well, what do you have to do to get your sins forgiven? Wide open question. And you let them go through it. Because what it says in their organization is you have to obey God's laws. And so whatever they say, you say, well, are you doing that? That's the question. Are you doing it? And they, well, we're trying. Oh. Or doing it to the best of our ability. Oh. So you're not doing it. And then there comes a point when you really got to say something strong to them. And sometimes I will say, oh, so you say that you have to keep commandments and do good works to be saved, and yet you're failing at doing that. Doesn't that necessarily mean you're damned? Because the standard is perfection. And your religion teaches you this? And then by then they're not going to want to talk to you anymore. But boy, I'll tell you, when you've gotten them to tell you what's necessary, and then they admit they're not doing it, well, then they're in trouble. It's just that simple. And you can try that. But then they say, well, it was nice talking, you got to go. Stuff like that. So there's things you can do. And that's one of them. And there are, you know, they teach baptism is necessary for salvation. But here's something else you can do. Is you can go to the CARM website, and you can look up the false prophecies of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society claim to be the prophet of God. And, oh, excuse me, boy, another yawn. Oh, sorry about that. How many people are yawning right now out there? And I have a list of 10 of their false prophecies and stuff. And so you can print them up and carry it with you. And when you see them, you can just, without opening it up, you can say, I've heard you guys, or listen to me, prophecies that didn't come to pass. Well, there have been those in the past who've made mistakes. And you say, oh. And you go to Deuteronomy 18, you know, make a false prophecy, you know, don't listen to them. I say, well, then you could whip it out, your piece of paper. And you can hand it to them, too. You know, just give if they'll take it. Well, right here, you know, 1923, our thought is that 1925 is definitely settled by the scriptures, as to Noah, the Christian now has much more upon which to base his faith than Noah had upon which to base his faith in the coming deluge. And why do they say that? Because It says in 1922, they said, the date 1925 is even more distinctly indicated by the scriptures than 1914. What? What they had been doing is saying that it would be the 1925 would be the return of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what they said. In 1918, in 1922, they said it's even more definitive. 1923, they said it's going to happen. And 1925 gets there, it doesn't happen. So stuff like this, and the false prophecies, and you can just work with them. And as you're leaving, you can, depending on what's going on, you can say, I'm glad I don't have to depend on my own works for salvation. I depend upon the crucifixion of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead physically. He's God in flesh because only God can do what's necessary. Have a nice day. And you walk away. There's lots of things you can do. Okay? All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Let's get to Bob from Louisiana. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I'm looking in chapter 18 of Luke, where Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or should that be the faith on the earth? Is this something we should take seriously?
Yes, because Jesus said it. Mm-hmm. And yes, he did say in Greek, the faith. Will he find the faith? Tain pistin in the Greek. So yeah, it's in the Greek. Okay.
Yeah, and a little further, he goes on, he said, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.
That's
and he
right.
goes on. I'm about to ask him that question. Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the next point I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.
Right. Well, do you believe that Jesus was good?
Not according to what I read here.
Okay, so Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. So let me ask you, Bob, do you believe Jesus was good?
He was a good teacher.
Oh, so you do believe he was good. Okay, good. All right. So good.
Yeah, he was a good teacher.
So you're just admitting he's God in flesh. Okay, we'll just move along. He calls in. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a cultist. Rick, from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Well, you're just admitting he's God in flesh.
I put him on hold a little bit. Okay, in 5 seconds, I'm going to come back on, Rick, to see if you got the radio turned down, the echo off, and things like that. Rick, are you there? Are you there?
Okay, in 5 seconds, I'm going to back on, Rick.
Okay. So, tell you what, maybe you could, I'm just going to hang up on you because we're at about a break. And I don't know if you want, call back, okay? And then we'll get you right back in. I'll get you on here, okay? All right, everybody. Hey, we're going to have a break here in a little bit. 877-207-2276. And if you want to give me a call there, you can. If you want, you can also email us at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And you can ask a comment or give a question. Or you could ask a question and give a comment. You can try either one of those, and we'll see what happens. May the Lord bless you. Be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Rick from High Point, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I had my radio on early. All right, I got issue with the guy, not with the guy, but the conversation about talking to the people about Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll talk about people, Nation of Islam. Now, this is why. I have no problem because I got friends who practice Islamic, my nephew, and I got friends I work for that Jehovah's Witness. And I've discussed everything you talked about. But now that's where it stops for me. I'm not trying to convert these people or nothing because, number one, they're dogmatic about their religion, as dogmatic as I am about being a Christian. So I'm not going to waste my time trying to convert them because they're not going.
Rick, you said you're not trying to convert anybody to Jesus?
Convert might have been the wrong word. I talked to a lot of people about converting to Jesus. But Matt, there are some people who are not going to be converted. This is my understanding. If I'm as strong in my Christianity as they are in theirs, what if they try to get me to change? And I'm not going to change.
Well, hold on. That's irrelevant. All of it's irrelevant. Your obligation is to try and convert anybody you can to Christianity. It doesn't mean you yelled at everybody in an aisle, in a bank. It's just at the right time. And so we always need to be able to use an opportunity to witness, even if you think that they're not going to convert.
Okay, I do that. But once I do that, then it's okay for me to be done with it because I've witnessed, right?
I'm sorry, what?
I said once I do that, then I can be done with it, right? Once I witness to them and explain the fallacies of their religion.
Yeah, you should. I mean, there's a level of attempt in that, but we can't do it every single time. I get that. We just need to have the attitude of being able to be ready. And even if, you think someone's not reachable, well, that's God's decision. So that's up to God.
I get that. But I've had occasion of people, one of the ladies that I work for, we were having conversations every day. It was a great conversation on a daily basis for like 2 or 3 months while I worked with her about her Jehovah's Witness and my Christianity. And she says, I appreciate you witnessing to me, and I get it, but I've been on Jehovah's Witness since I was a child, and I'm not converting for nobody.
Well, say good. Say don't convert for anybody except the Lord God. Agree with her.
But she
That's
don't.
Right. Except for the Lord God,
but she's not going to convert for the Lord God because
you don't know that. It's not your job to say that.
Okay. Let me put it this way. So you're right. I don't know that. But whenever we're together until I don't see her anymore, and we talk and witness every single day for 2 or 3 months, and she says, I don't want to engage this conversation anymore because I don't want to because I'm devout.
Well, then, at that point, you respect her privacy, and then you try and then you continue to pray for her, and when the rare opportunity raises its head, you use it. But you've done your part, you've witnessed, and she says she's wanting to do with it. Well, that's on her at that point.
I got you. Okay, I was just trying to see because sometimes. I know Christian people, a lot of them, and I mean a lot more solid than I am, that they're just dogmatic and browbeating somebody that's to convert. And I get that.
I don't want to do that.
I try to be open-minded in one sense. I know Christianity is the way to go, period. But now, everybody is different, and if God would have wanted everybody to be a Christian, he'd have made everybody a Christian. But to continuously try to get them to see and yada, yada, yada.
I got that.
We've already Christianity and my belief, then also it has to be a certain point where I don't have to like it, but I have to respect their opinion.
Right,
I don't have to respect
Take a breath. You're just going in circles. We've already gone over this. You've done your part, and then you just respect that, and you pray, and that's it. We get it. You don't want to force on everybody's throat. We get that. Well, That's you're right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. One more quick one. You familiar with Tony Evans?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't trust him.
Tony Evans.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me why. Just tell me why.
I forgot why. There's some things he said that
you forgot why.
Yeah, that's right. There's some things he said that I had to document and stuff like that. And, yeah. And so some other things. Okay, leave
well,
it at that.
I thought you was going to say one major thing. You what? Know, his daughter is a preacher for Joel Osteen. You know that, right?
I didn't know that, but that's a good reason to not trust him if he approves of that.
I did not know it until I pulled up one of his sermons about women in the pulpit. And when it comes on, She says her name, and she says, I'm a pastor here at Joel Osteen Church. Well, that was endo for me right there.
Yeah, and that's good. I'm glad your judgment is solid there. Women pastors and elders are part of the apostasy of the Christian church, and the churches and the pastors that are supporting it are part of the apostasy. Yep.
I got you.
Okay.
Matt, it's always good talking to you. Thank you.
Good. Good, bro. All right, Rick. I like your energy and your desire, man. It's good stuff. All right, brother. We'll talk to you later, man. Okay. Let's get to Bob from Louisiana. Let's try Bob again. Bob, you there?
Yeah, Matt. I guess we got cut off a minute ago or something.
Oh, no, we didn't. I hung up on you because you can't think critically. You continue to reject God's word. You have the spirit of Antichrist. You're trying to promote heresy. You are a child of the evil one. Things like that. So I've worked with you so many times. I've shown you stuff. You try and show that Jesus is not God. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. I refute you. And then you alter things and God's word. And you don't believe God's word. You're a child of the evil one. Your heart is given over to the lie. And if you died today and die without repentance of that, you're going to hell. I don't want that for you.
Okay, well, maybe we can talk about it tonight on the open forum.
If you want, you can, you know, the open forum tonight. But on the open forum, I'm going to put the pressure on you. If you dare to call me up and ask me a question, I'm going to put your feet to the fire and ask you to answer specific issues. And if you can't do it, because what you do is you constantly move the goalposts. You ask a question, I start answering it, then you change something. You don't listen to what the Word of God says. So after a while, I'm obligated to stop throwing pearls before swine and just simply say, we're done with you. You are a child of the evil one. You are a false teacher. You are a false convert. You are not a Christian.
And you got that information how?
By looking at God's word and seeing how you deny God's word. Now let me ask you, was Jesus good?
He was excellent guy. Yeah, he was.
So
really good.
I didn't ask if he was excellent. I see this is what you do. Here's a perfect example. Here you go. It's either the case that he was good or it's not the case that he was good. I'm not using the word excellent. I'm not using the word round. I'm not using the word heavy. I'm not using the word blue. I'm using the word good. Was Jesus good?
I would have to say yes.
Yes. He said only God is good. So if only God is good and you say Jesus was good, then that means Jesus is God in flesh.
That's not what that means at all.
Oh, so Jesus is not good? You brought the verse up. No. You brought it up. And I'm going to use it on you. You are the one, and so many of these cults do. Why call me good? Only God is good. Okay, well, was Jesus good? By Jesus' own words, only God is good. And he's called good. So he's saying, well, what are you saying about me if you're calling me good? Because only God's good. What are you saying? The guy's recognizing who Christ is far more than you do. Okay, we're moving along. All right, let's get to Joe from North Carolina. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you heard about what the Lutheran Church has been doing they have their own creed that they've been fighting.
Now, just to be fair, there's several Lutheran, there's several Lutheran denominations. You can't just say the Lutherans, okay? So the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is pretty bad, and I know what you're talking about, okay? What that stupid woman said with the Sparkle Creed.
The Sparkle Creed, that's right.
Yeah, blasphemy.
I was just curious if you heard. Yes, it is, very, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what they changed. They changed the, what, the Apostles' Creed, I think it is. They changed it. To this.
Yeah.
Let me read it. Here, let me read it. Yeah. It says, I believe in a non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who bore a fabulous, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and I saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us that is that love is love is love, so beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief, amen. Yeah, it's blasphemy, done by Reverend Rachel Small Stokes, pastor of the so-called pastor of the Emmanuel United Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky. She's a false teacher. She's unqualified to be a pastor because she's a woman, for one thing. She is not a true believer. She is a child of the enemy, and she is in service of the devil. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah,
that's the devil in disguise.
That's a good way to put it. The devil in disguise. There's a song with that in there someplace, I think. Yep. So, yeah, she's a false teacher, and that whole denomination is, I wouldn't trust that denomination anymore. I could throw 10 tons of elephant stuff.
Branch of Catholic church, isn't it?
I couldn't hear you. What? Say it again.
I say they're similar to the Catholic Church.
No, the Catholic Church would never do that. The Catholic Church is apostate for different reasons, but it would never, at least as it stands now, never say this. They would never do that with that creed. I mean, I just got, you know, I think about Catholicism, but they would never do that. The Catholic Church would never approve of that kind of creed modification.
Hey,
there we go. There's the music, man. We're out of time. Call back tomorrow, okay? We can continue with it, okay? All right. Hey, folks. You know what I say? So much heresy, so little time. Hey, by God's grace, we're back on here tomorrow. Tonight, in 2 hours, I'll be on Clubhouse answering questions for a couple, 3 hours. If you want to join Clubhouse on your phone, God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.